Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends, and happy Ascension Thursday. Today, the church celebrates the glorious reality of Jesus' ascension to the right hand of the Father in heaven. I want to break that open a little bit today from the readings that were given at Mass, both in the Acts of the Apostles and Ephesians, because they're just beautiful readings. But they reveal a tremendous amount about the truth of what happened in Jesus' ascension into glory. But also it reveals something about who we are. Because those who are baptized into Christ are sharing and participating in the realities of what Jesus produced. St. Peter, as I mentioned earlier in the week, makes this amazing statement that we have become partakers of the divine nature. And the incarnation of Jesus, his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and taking in himself human flesh and humanity into the presence of God and into glory is why we have the potential to share in the divine nature, which is something that ought to get us out of bed with a smile every morning. If we can remember it, it's one of the things the devil tries to steal from us is the truth about our inheritance and what Christ has done. But I'd like to finish where I left off yesterday. St. Peter was testifying to the glory and majesty of Jesus in the temple and telling everyone, bearing witness to the brothers who gathered around, the crowds that gathered around him in the temple about how this lame man was healed. And Peter made it clear. Peter said it wasn't through his power or through his piety or John's, who was with Peter, but it was because of his belief in the name of Jesus. It was in the name of Jesus, Peter said, rise and walk. And so Peter said, there's authority. He's saying there's authority in the name of Jesus. And this sign and wonder happened because we're sharing in the authority of Christ. And who is Jesus? You remember him. He's the one you crucified. But he's not dead. He's alive. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And so Peter makes that clear. And then he goes on to verse 17, chapter 3, and he says, and now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. So he's talking about ordinary men, for the most part, who are there worshiping in the temple, but he's also remembering that Jesus was sent to his death by the religious leaders of the people of Israel and by Pilate, the secular leaders as well. And they acted in ignorance, but Peter said, now, the reason this thing happened today, this healing, this sign and wonder, it's for a larger purpose, that the Lord can get your attention. Because the most important thing that can happen to you and what Jesus wants us to appeal to you for is for you to repent and to change your life, to have your sins forgiven. So listen to Peter. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for establishing all that God had spoken by the mouth of the holy prophets from of old. And then he quotes Moses and goes on. But at the end, he said, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first. Who was Jesus first to be sent to? Who did he go to first? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, the Jewish people. And Peter's reminding them. He said, God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness. Do you see, Peter, he's confident in the mission. He knows exactly what he was sent to proclaim and bear witness to. He understands Jesus' mission, Jesus' authority at work in him, and he understands the condition of the people he's speaking to. And so today, even in the church, I think people would resist the bottom line of what Peter was after here, which is repent. For what? Why should we repent? What do we have to repent for? We're here in the temple. We're going to pray. We're good people. You know, who are you? You're being condescending or intolerant or mean or whatever. Peter's supremely confident. Peter said, repent, which means change the direction of your life. What does that mean? You turn to Christ and you say yes to what he's offering you. And what he's offering you is his grace and power, his work of blotting out your sins, by removing them. Because sin, it may not be a big deal to people who are standing there in the temple. It was, I'm sure, in that moment. In the world today, it doesn't seem to be a big deal. Even in the life of many in the church, in the baptized, it's not a big deal. I'm already good. I'm already saved. I'm a good person. I don't need to repent. Things like that. That kind of attitude. But Peter dials right in. And he said, repent so that your sins may be forgiven. That's why this miracle happened today, to get your attention, so that you would put your gaze for a moment on the person of Jesus and allow, and the Holy Spirit would help you, as I bear witness, will help you see Jesus and hopefully convict your heart and stir your heart so that you can be saved from what? Peter made it clear, from your wickedness. This is the condition of every human heart. Everyone needs to have a new heart, to be given a new heart in Jesus. And it begins with acknowledging the sin-sick condition of our lives, our need for salvation, and turning and repenting and giving our lives to Christ. Now, the readings from today, Acts chapter 1, this is the final appearance of Jesus with the apostles before he ascends into heaven. And it says, while meeting with them, he enjoined them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father about which you have heard me speak, Jesus said. Luke, in this account here, is quoting Jesus. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The whole mission of Jesus, Pope Benedict reminded us, and Pope Francis and others, said the whole culmination of Jesus' coming, his taking on human flesh, the whole purpose of his mission was for this moment that he's talking about, that he must ascend to the right hand of the Father so that he can send the promised one, the Holy Spirit, and we can be plunged, baptized into the Holy Spirit, which happens to us in baptism. There's a lot we're given in baptism, an amazing amount. It's staggering what we're given in baptism. But many baptized walk as if they have no idea what they've been given. Luke goes on, he says, when they had gathered together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this point going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So here's what Jesus was focused on in the very final meeting he had with the apostles on earth. This is the last word, and he wanted them to get it right and to understand what this whole plan of salvation, what it's about, what's at the heart of it, and how we respond to it. So all of us who have been baptized, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that gift is a gift of power. It's power to become a new creation, first of all. It's power to have our sins taken away. It's a power to have our sins blotted out. That's the first exercise of power that comes to us in baptism. And then there's the power to make us children of God, to make us a new creation. How does that happen? The power of Jesus' blood cleanses us. The power of the Holy Spirit comes and begins to aliven us, and we become children of God. And then, as Jesus said, this is power to do the works that he himself did. This is an aspect which very few Catholics and very few Christians seem to be dialed into. In fact, even the daily understanding of walking with confidence in the reality that we're children of God and the implications of that is something we all need to grow in. I mean, we're living in a world that's so filled with discouragement and fear and anger and rage and confusion and division and the rest of it. Humanity's full of angst and preoccupied with all of this. And we can get caught up in that toxic environment ourselves as believers and relate to it the same way they do. It's an unavoidable thing to be somewhat impacted by it or to know that it's there, but we don't have to respond to it the way other people do. It's not a surprise that the world acts worldly. It's not a surprise that the world has fallen. It's not a surprise that there's lying and murder and cheating and division and deep deception and all the rest of it. I'm not surprised by it. It's disheartening. I wish it wasn't here. I pray that it change, and I try to do what I can to make it change, but it doesn't surprise me because the world has fallen. It stands in need of radical redemption, and there's no fear of the Lord in the land, or very little fear of the Lord in the land, and so people act stupid. Without the fear of the Lord is is foolishness. I mean, literally, human beings live foolishly and under the power and the reign of sin. But Christians ought to know there's a new power at work in them. And we know this world is passing away, and it's a fallen world. And Jesus has come to begin this work of establishing his kingdom and making all things new. And he's made you a child of God. So stand up. Don't let the devil try to steal that from you. Don't let him steal your identity. You are loved, and you are a lover of God. This is the biggest and most important thing about you. And as a friend of mine would say, this is the definition of success in your life. This is it. Because you're walking in the Son, and you're following in his footsteps. And St. Paul in Ephesians, the church gives us this beautiful reading as well that I'd like to end the program with, just to exalt Jesus. And as I do, open your heart to Jesus if you'd like to invite him to come and dwell and to be Lord, and ask, and I'll pray with you to ask the Holy Spirit today to let you see the ascended one, the Lord, to reveal his glory and majesty in your heart, and to give you the new power and capacity that's yours by virtue of your baptism. Ask Jesus today. Say, Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Lord, awaken in me everything you want awakened. I want to know you as Lord the way Peter did. I want to walk in that confidence the way John and the apostles did and the way the saints did. But here's the vision of St. Paul. May we share it. Brothers and sisters, may the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation resulting in the knowledge of him. Yes, Lord, may that be so today in this moment. May the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, what are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe. In accord with the exercise of his great might, which he worked in Christ, raising him from the dead, seating him at his right hand in the heavens, far above every principality, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things beneath his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. Friends, this is God, and this is Christ. This is what God the Father has done for his beloved, precious, beautiful, awesome, glorious Son. Jesus, as I read the first day, the document from the Church Dominus Jesus describing, Jesus is the center of everything. He's the center of history. He's the goal of every man's longing, and all power and authority belong to Jesus. All things are under his feet. All things ultimately will come under his final judgment. Friends, he's what the world needs. He's what the church needs. He's what our politics need. He's the answer to everything that's here. He's the answer to all the problems that we're facing. The problem in the world is we're not centered on Christ, the King, the Lord, the one who created it all, and we're not following in his footsteps. May we be signs, and may we do that with the life that Christ has given to us. God bless you. Hope you can tune in tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.